All right, guys. Well, we're going to jump into our scripture and message this morning as we begin a new sermon series. We're going to be 4 weeks in this series, and I've entitled it Created Human, and we're going to be talking about a theology of the body. And so I am excited, and I'm looking forward to sharing this with you. As Jacob mentioned, I think at the top of the service that you should have received a sermon note sheet. If you didn't get one of those, you can get one after the service. There's a few up here, and I think there's some in the back as well. So you can just follow along and fill in the blanks and have a little take-home sheet to help you remember the message today. So this morning, our scripture reading, it comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God He created them. Male and female He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And by the way, may the 4th be with you. Okay. All right. So we got that out of the way, so we can move on now, right? Speaking of Star Wars, I am a big Star Wars fan. I've been watching the Andor series. If y'all been watching them, they drop new episodes every Tuesday on Disney Plus, so there's a fearless plug for it. It's a pretty good series. I've been enjoying it. It's some of the best characters in this series and some of the other Star Wars spinoffs that Disney has done. Really great characters, great storyline, teaching us about how the rebellion began back in that. Some of the other series are picking up on later. So today we're beginning this four-week series, and what we're going to be doing is a deep dive into the topic that I believe is most relevant in our own time. There are a lot of conversations that are going on out there regarding our bodies, the human body. And it can be challenging. It can be confusing as we navigate through those conversations. And so what I'm going to be doing is helping us to look at these conversations through a scriptural lens. And I'm not going to be debating things. A sermon is really not the place for a debate, but rather for a presentation of what the Bible teaches. What are Christians? What are Christians throughout history? What have they believed about our human bodies? As you know, Easter was a couple of weeks ago, and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, Him being resurrected to new life after being dead for 3 days. Resurrection is something that God has promised to do to all of our bodies at a point in time. Therefore, I think the human body is important to God. It is part of the story that the Bible teaches us. And what we're going to see today is that the body is at the center point of the sweeping plan of God's redemption. It includes the body. And so I want to approach this series with a simple question. The question is this: what does God have to say about our bodies? Why do our bodies matter? And so let me start with giving to you some historical and philosophical perspectives on the body. So on your note sheet, you'll have there in framing the conversation, "Do our bodies matter?" There are two narratives that I think are kind of presented. They could be framed a little bit differently. But for our sake this morning, you have the conflict narrative and the confused narrative. Those are kind of two ways I see of describing different viewpoints of the body throughout history and theologically. You know, when we talk about the conflict narrative, you know, I'm thinking in terms of our culture today and how fixated we are on the human body right now. To me, this topic is at the forefront of most of the hot-button social issues of our time. It involves the body. Now, bodies can be a very sensitive and personal topic. Can conjure up all kinds of feelings and emotions and ideas when we start thinking about bodies. You know, body image is one thing that people seem to be talking about a lot. You know, we get body image messaging thrown at us all the time. You know, it can become confusing when we look at our bodies compared to the image of the body that culture kind of lifts up. And we may feel that tension, that we don't quite measure up, or there's a lot of difference in opinion about really how God has created these bodies that we have. You know, I think about gender dysphoria. Y'all probably have heard language about that. Gender dysphoria is when your biological sex that you were defined with at your birth is in tension with the gender that you most identify with. So in the realm of desires and thoughts and feelings, that internal identity doesn't seem to line up with your biology. And there are people that struggle with that. And that's certainly at the forefront of our world. Also, you remember back, I think it was in 2015, there was the Time magazine, Vanity Fair magazine released an issue that had Caitlyn Jenner on it. You remember that? And how gender reassignment kind of was put at the forefront of conversation. And so there's been a lot of talk about that and what leads people to change their physical gender, or what causes people to start expressing themselves sexually through different gender than their biological one. So, you know, we have thoughts, we have opinions, we have ideas about all of this stuff, and, you know, it's very personal. Some of you probably have family members that have struggled with some of these things, and so we all have a story to tell of the way that we relate to these issues. So there's all of that stuff going on one side, and then on the other side, there are also issues like murder, homosexuality. There are issues about disease and disability, and we struggle to kind of frame these conversations in light of what the Bible says, and it can cause us to experience conflict. Now, also when we look at ancient views, I want to do an oversimplification of kind of how we've viewed the body throughout history. So early on, let's go back to the time of Aristotle and Plato. You know, Aristotle says, you know, this material world is all we can really know, and so we should focus on it, and science should be focused on that in helping us to describe and understand the world we experience with our physical senses. But on the other side of the philosophical conversation, there was Plato. And Plato, you remember, said, no, this material world is just a reflection of the immaterial world. That's the real world, the place of ideas, the spiritual realm, that this world is just somehow a reflection of, that is the most real thing. And so what happened was, as people started to give in to Plato's ideas, they began to view the body as being insignificant, that we shouldn't really focus on the body. And so that became kind of a prevailing viewpoint. And so there was this conflict throughout history, philosophically, of whether the body is significant or insignificant. And then you get into the modern times, and one of the things that we see being challenged a lot is whether or not we can trust our biology. Can we trust our bodies? to tell us who we are? You know, that is kind of where people are debating today. There's, you know, gender preference. Should that be based on biology or something internally? So conflict, you know, all of this stuff gins up a whole lot of debate and conflict. And then within the Christian community, we've not been absent all of this stuff either, because, you know, there have been all these theologians and preachers over the years that have emphasized different aspects of our being, creating what I call the confused narrative. You know, I went to college. I was taught in college. I took theology classes and all of those sorts of things at ORU. And you know kind of the slant that school has on some of these things theologically. But there we were taught, I am a spirit. I'm a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. We were taught this trichotomy of the being, spirit, soul, and body. That's what I grew up being taught, that this is... But out of all of those three things, which is most important? What's the true essence of you? Spirit. That's right. That's what we've been taught. So the ultimate goal of the Christian journey is for our spirits to go to heaven to be with God. Right? That's what we believe. When we die, our spirits go to God. But then there's the question that still hangs out there. What about our bodies? Do they matter? Do they matter to God? We hear all this talk in the Bible about the resurrection of our bodies. And then when we read the book of Revelation in chapters 20 and 21, the vision that we see in the new creation is there's not a bunch of disembodied spirits worshiping God in heaven, that there are embodied spirits. There are people that you can see that are from different nationalities, ethnicities, different languages. All of these people you can see in their bodily form in heaven, in the new creation, in the new heaven and the new earth. And so we get confused. Spirit, body, what is God's plan? What is it involved? And then, if that doesn't complicate things, we also know that in our culture, you know, we try to understand these conversations about gender and all of these things from a biblical perspective, and then we hear Christians who don't even agree on a lot of these things. It can be so confusing. Is there a common root to our conflict and confusion on this topic? Well, I believe there is. And when I look at Dr. Tim Tennant in a book that he wrote called On the Body, he writes in there that he believes that the root of our conflict and confusion comes down to the church's failure to articulate a Christian view of the body, a biblical view of the body. He suggests that for too long, Christians have kind of dealt with all these cultural conversations like a firefighter who goes in and is just consumed with putting out little spot fires. And we see Christians doing that whenever there's the issue of homosexuality. You know, Christians go in and they speak about that, and, you know, we're against that, and we don't believe this is God's plan and design. And then they jump over here to the gender thing, and we don't believe in that either, and we don't believe you should be doing this and that. They seem to be running, chasing at the symptoms of things, but not dealing with the root. And Dr. Tennant suggests that the focus has been on putting out individual fires to the neglect of figuring out this underlying cause. The result is that the society perceives the church to be merely against a range of behaviors or actions, but they have no compelling vision of what they're for. This is his bottom line. This is what he says, that society often sees Christians as promoting a negative narrative. That's on your sheet. They're focused on what we are against rather than what we're for. And the remedy to this, he suggests, is that we must learn to articulate a positive and biblical narrative of the human body. We have to reclaim what the Scriptures say and teach that. And rather than being perceived as all this negative, I'm against this or we're against that kinds of conversation, the church needs to approach this from a more positive centered conversation. Here's God's design. Here's what God has intended for our bodies. And so for too long, the church has been silent. Why have we been silent? Two things. The fear of alienating people. You know, our past has taught us that when we debate and argue regarding behaviors, that it creates division in the church. And guess what? Church folk don't like division. They don't like it. We don't like going to the grocery store and avoiding people because we disagree about things. I mean, I know y'all all know what I'm talking about. We have become timid also of defending the authority of the Bible out of fear that people outside the church will think that we're just too old-fashioned and we're not with the times. But y'all, we have to get back to the root of Scripture and at least establishing a foundation of the authority of God's Word in our lives, and that it has say on these issues. So, we know that there's fear of alienating people, is why we don't talk. Also, we know that it creates tension inside the church. Y'all, when we talk about issues that we can't all agree on, it's sort of like being at the family dinner table and bringing up a topic of politics or religion. And you know how that you feel that tension? And sometimes somebody ends up getting red-faced and walking away. And sometimes they never come back to a family gathering. We don't like that. We don't like that tension. We don't know how to have hard conversations about things that we disagree about. And we don't listen to each other. These conversations aren't easy, but guess what? The faith that you and I have inherited, the faith that we are living out, was forged through hard conversations that the church has had over the centuries. Just go back in the period of the early church, in the first 300 years of our existence, they were fussing and fighting and doing all kinds of crazy stuff trying to hammer out the orthodox faith. It's not easy, and it is messy sometimes. But that is no excuse for us to not deal with these hard topics. So the big idea of this kind of series is that our bodies matter because they have a story to tell. They matter because they matter to God, and they are central to the story that the Bible is telling. So let me tell you three critical stories that we have in the Bible that kind of point to why our bodies matter to God. The three are this: creation, incarnation. Sorry, let me get those in order for you. Creation, incarnation, resurrection. Okay? So I'm going to briefly kind of summarize these three things. So the text that we read just a moment ago in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 27, It reads, God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them, male and female, God created them. Y'all, the Bible tells a wonderful and imaginative story of how God made the world. How God made the world. That God created human bodies. We aren't just a bunch of atoms that somehow or another came together to form all the things that we see in the material world. We didn't come together by chance, but there's order, there's design, there's beauty, and there's goodness in creation. God declares over the things that God has created, it is good. And then on the sixth day, at the height of God's creation, God scoops up a bunch of dirt and clay and forms a human being and breathes into that form His very life and spirit, bringing it life and forever joining together spirit and body, spirit and body. That's God's design. That was His intent. What God has joined together, let no one separate, as the Bible says. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the story the Bible tells us. Because God created us, the creation story tells us that our bodies matter to God. And what God declared over us at creation was, this is supremely good. Out of all the things I've made, humans are supremely good because we have a very specific role to play as image bearers in the world. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit next week. So God has spoken words over you. This is supremely good. And these words oftentimes contrast with the bad words that we hear about us and about our bodies. And also the things that we tell ourselves. You know, things like your life has no value. Things like your body is a mistake. Genesis teaches us that we are good, but that we are fallen. That we have fallen. Humanity has fallen out of alignment with God's original intent and design. We have things like sinful passions. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful because of sin. We have diseased bodies. That's not part of God's original plan. And then we have that great enemy of the bodies, which is death. And what is death's objective? What does death do but separate spirit from body? That was not God's design for us. But there's more to the story. We come to the incarnation piece. The word incarnation means to be wrapped up in flesh. In flesh. The incarnation tells the story of how God entered the world. The designer and the architect of creation has moved into His creation and become part of it. John chapter 1 paints this perspective. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning, and everything that came into being through Him. And then later in verse 14 of chapter 1, John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God has never been pleased with the results of the fall. But when the time in history was right, God chose to enter our creation by taking on our humanity, the divine filling the human. He took up residence in our fleshly body. Your body matters because Jesus took on our flesh. He gives value and dignity to it. And what we see in Jesus is God's perfect plan for humanity. We see God's image perfectly displayed in Jesus, the divine filling the human. And Jesus shows us what it looks like to be fully human. And all of this was part of God's plan to put humanity back on track according to God's original design. So the incarnation takes us back to plan A in the garden. And you know what's even more interesting is that we see Jesus, he enters into the depths of our brokenness. He takes on our suffering. He takes on our shame. All of these things that are a result of the fall of humanity, Jesus embodies that in order to redeem it, in order to heal it. That's why we see healing ministry at the heart of what Jesus was all about in proclaiming the goodness of the kingdom of God. It involved healing. And in Jesus, when he walked this earth, that healing was a sign. It was never really the full picture, but it was a sign of what God intends for every one of us to experience when his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Being made whole, bodies healed, and complete. No more sickness, no more disease, no more suffering and pain. Jesus came to restore a vision of God's plan for humanity. And then this final piece, resurrection. You know, we've been talking about that in the Easter season, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this series, the theology of the body within the Easter season, is because there is a focus on the body. N.T. Wright has said something like this. He's a great British theologian in the Methodist tradition, the Wesleyan tradition. But he has said, heaven is great, but that is not the end of the world. You know, what's he talking about? Well, he's basically saying that after we die, our spirits, yes, they go to be with God, but that's not the end of the story. Because there's this resurrection that God has promised to us. God's ultimate purpose is to fully redeem and restore His creation and humanity. To restore our bodies to their original design in the new heaven and the new earth. That's how the story will play out. And the Gospels are clear that Jesus experienced a bodily resurrection. He was not raised a disembodied spirit. He was not a ghost. The disciples didn't see a ghost that appeared to have flesh and bones on it. But they touched him. They saw him with their eyes. They ate with him. They walked with him. They heard his voice. He taught them all of these things after the resurrection. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that through the resurrection, that our earthly bodies will get changed to be like Jesus' resurrection body. That was a new body, a glorified body. That's the hope that we have. That the dead will be raised with bodies that won't decay and will be changed. This is what Paul says. We will be given a glorified body like Christ. This is God's ultimate plan. God's ultimate plan. So, to wrap this up, y'all, the reason I've kind of just plunged right on through with this message today, in spite of all the other things we have, is because I think it's foundational. It's that important. It's worth 10 minutes of your time. So hang with me. We're almost finished. Our bodies matter to God because they're created by Him, they're dignified through the incarnation, and they will be redeemed in the resurrection. The body is central to the story that God is telling. And it's made clear in the Scriptures. And you know what? Our bodies, you know, we've celebrated sacraments. We're celebrating sacraments today. Baptism, communion, they're all outward signs of spiritual realities, of things that God is doing. Did you know that your body is a sacrament? It's telling a wonderful story. And we're going to continue to tell you more about that story in the coming weeks. Let's pray. God, thank you that your design of creation is so amazing. Our bodies are wonderful creations. There's such intent and purpose behind them. They're telling an amazing story of your salvation and how you are fully redeeming us. God, we know that we live in this world where there's so much suffering. There's confusion over our bodies. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have clarity of understanding throughout this series. Help us to embrace the stories that these amazing creations are telling us, so that we may learn to value what you value. God, today we pray that you would give us the hope that you have promised. I know there are some here today that struggle with issues related to their bodies. Lord, I thank you that that does not get to be part of our future. And I pray that in the midst of our suffering and confusion and conflict, Lord, that you would bring clarity and hope and peace. Help the church to reclaim these views in our own time and give us the strength and the courage to speak your truth, Lord. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.